Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This is the result of turning from God. Now go back in time, 150 years ago, 100 years ago in this country. Do we see the immorality that we see today? It's on the increase. Why? Because a nation that was founded upon Judeo-Christian principles has moved away from God. And God says, I am giving you over to these debased things, these wicked things. This is a result of turning from me. What's the solution? We as Christians need to humble ourselves and pray to seek his face. And God can heal this land. Will he? I don't know. But we need to be praying as Christians. Because it's getting nasty out there. What I just read here in Romans chapter 1, there will be a time, I believe, in this country when we will not be able to read that. Now, again, it won't stop me, but it'll be wrong because it'll be hateful. Many today, and even in Canada, some parts of Canada, you can't teach on that. You can't say homosexuality is wrong. That's a hate crime. Many feel the Bible is a book of hate. Oh no, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God is going to deal with those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. He who has the Son, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's just the reality. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, it doesn't matter if you agree or not. God said it. It's going to happen. If you don't want to endure his wrath, then repent and ask him to be Lord and Savior of your life. Now, please understand that when the Bible speaks of the vengeance of God, it's not something that, you know, from a human perspective, we think we're just getting back. That's not at all. In fact, that's what one writer, Heber, tells us. The term does not contain the idea of human revenge, but rather denotes infliction of full justice on a criminal, giving him all but no more than his guilt deserves. That's God. Not less, not more, just what he deserves. It's perfect. God's judgment upon the wicked is going to be right. It's going to be fair. Now, some still wonder how God can be just and still be merciful and forgive sinners. If we're all sinners, then justice must be upon all of us. And I like what Tozer wrote. He said, the solution for the problem of how God can be just and still justify the unjust is found in the Christian doctrine of redemption. It's not that through the work of Christ in atonement, justice is not violated but satisfied when God spares a sinner. Redemptive theology teaches that mercy does not become effective toward a man until justice has done its work. The just penalty for sin was exacted when Christ our substitute died for us on the cross. However unpleasant this may sound to the ear of the natural man, it has ever been sweet to the ear of faith. Absolutely. That's what God has done for us. That's why he can accept us, because he paid for our sins. Justice was met. But if you reject him, you're basically tearing up the papers, and you're going to have to atone for your, not atone for your sins, but pay for your sins in the lake of fire. And yeah, Paul spoke about, you know, we'll have rust when the Lord returns. What's he talking about? Well, maybe he's talking about the millennial kingdom, where righteousness will fill the land, and we can rest, have a day of rest. Right now in this world, there's not that physical rest, is there? There's not. And there is a rest, though, we can enjoy now. Our rest is in Christ. We rest in him. You know, in this world you will have tribulation, but we can have peace in him, right? That's where we find the peace, the comfort. You know, how many of you, when you turn on the national news, feel peaceful? None of you. Yeah, but how many of you, when you're reading God's word and you're just praying, and all of a sudden God just comforts your heart? That's what we need, right? I like what Jesus said in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Now, as we continue on here, Paul's going to speak of what is coming for those who have rejected him, the eternal punishment that's coming. Look at verse 9. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Paul says that the wicked will face everlasting destruction. And that's a hard one. I mean, I don't know if you've talked with people, but they believe that everlasting destruction doesn't mean everlasting. It's just for a period of time, and then they just go into oblivion and there's nothingness. That's not what it says. This punishment is eternal. And here's the thing. If the blessings of heaven and being with the Lord are eternal, and they are, then the penalty for hell is also eternal. That's what it says. Now, if we say that the penalty for the wicked is not eternal, that it's only for a period of time and then they just go into nothingness, then what about our eternal life with Jesus? Do we just go with him for a period of time and then nothingness? Oh, no, no, no. Well, you can't have it both ways. Calvin said the perpetual duration of this death is proved from the fact that its opposite is the glory of Christ. This is eternal and has no end. Absolutely. Why is their punishment eternal? Why are they spending eternity in the lake of fire? Because they rejected Jesus and outer darkness. Think about life apart from God is darkness. And here's the thing. The only sin that will send a person to hell is the rejection of Jesus Christ. That's the only sin that keeps people out of heaven. And people get freaked out by that. What about stealing and murder and adultery, fornication, and on and on? We can go on and on with the list. They're not going to send you to hell. Jesus said in John 16, verses 8 through 11, speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit, and when he has come, the Holy Spirit, after Jesus went to the cross at Calvary, died and rose on the third day, the Holy Spirit was sent out, he, the Holy Spirit, will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. You see, the sin that sends someone to hell is the rejection of Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Because the only righteousness God will accept is the righteousness of Christ. And so if we stand in our own righteousness, the Bible says they're like filthy rags before God. But the wonderful news is what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He took our sin, he gave us his righteousness. Thus we can stand before God, not in our own righteousness, which are like filthy rags, but in the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed into our lives by faith. Well, what about all those other things? What about all those other sins that the Bible speaks of? They don't send you to hell. They determine your punishment in the lake of fire. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. You know, the guys in the men's study are wondering, when are we going to get to Revelation 20? About 2 years, but we'll get there. Don't worry. Revelation 20, we're going to look at verse 11, starting in verse 11, where we're told this. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, they were judged according to their works. Not for salvation, but to determine, again, the degree of punishment in the lake of fire. I hope that's clear. God has provided a way for us to spend eternity with him, and that's through Jesus Christ. His atoning work on the cross of Calvary, the shedding of his blood. But if you reject that, you will pay for your sins in the lake of fire. You think, well, you know, I'm not as bad as some people. Yeah, but you're in the lake of fire in outer darkness. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is not good at all. So it's not like you're going to enjoy yourself there. So why not come to Christ? Look at verse 11. Therefore, we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's prayer for these believers is that they would be found worthy. Well, what does that mean? Is Paul speaking of our, you know, working our way into heaven, having good works? And if there's not enough good works in our lives, well, we're in trouble. But if there is, if the good outweighs the bad, we're entering into heaven? No. Why? Because that's not the gospel message. That's the message of all the religions of the world, but not Christianity. All the religions of the world, if you start study them at all have man working their way up to God. Well, you know, think about the Tower of Babel. Isn't that the whole idea with that? They were building a tower to communicate with the demonic world or the spirit world, reaching up to God. And that's what religions do. You have to do this and you have to do that. Don't do this, don't do that, but do this. And it's all working your way up. Now, again, you could be good, right? You could do some good things. But does it really matter if you're standing flat on flat land here in Wisconsin, or you're in the Rocky Mountains at the top of a peak? Are you really any closer to God? No. So what's the point? Our good works will never get us in. Not at all. In fact, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's a hopeless condition. But Paul said in Romans 5:6, when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Did you notice that? He didn't die for the good people. He didn't die for those that were righteous. He died for sinners. He died for the ungodly. He died for you and me. I like that. And in Romans 6:23, Paul said, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You want to work your way in? Your payment is death. But boy, you come to Christ, you repent of your sins, ask him to be Lord and Savior of your life. What does that mean? Well, as Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Why is there now no more condemnation? Because we're in Christ and all our sins have been paid in full. We're covered by the blood of Christ. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. Many people think he did, but he didn't. He came to save us. We're already condemned, right? We didn't need more condemnation. We needed salvation. So God sent us a Savior, just what we needed. In fact, in Ephesians 2:8-9, Paul said, for by grace you have been saved, through faith in that, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's a gift of God. You know, I don't know about you, but when my wife hands me a Christmas present, I don't go pull out my wallet and go, oh, hi, hon, thank you for that present. How much do I owe you for that gift? Wouldn't that be crazy to do that? So here's God. It says, I've got this gift for you, eternal life. It's for you. It's free. And we go, okay, what do I have to do for it? How much good stuff do I have to do? That's just as bad. It's even worse. It's a free gift. And all our boasting is in what Jesus has done, not what we've done. And thus, why do we live like we do? Because we love the Lord. That's the reason. We're not obligated under any law. We're under love. It's a different relationship now. In fact, in Ephesians 4:1, Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." 1 Thessalonians 4:7, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." Colossians 1:10, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Yes, we should be maturing, growing. People should see us as being different than the world. And 1 Thessalonians 2:12, "That you would walk worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory." You know, it's like John said, you know, "Lord, less of me and more of you," right? "That I may decrease so you may increase in my life. Yeah, help me to get out of the way, Lord, so people will see Jesus. Don't let me cloud the picture." And again, this isn't for salvation, it's for identification. You know, is there enough evidence if you were in court to convict you as a Christian because of the things you say, the things that you do? Something we have to think about. I love how God works in us and then through us. But again, we're in a battle. The devil knows his time is short, and he is inflicting a tremendous amount of tribulation, persecution. And the world is looking to discredit us as Christians. I don't know if you heard the story of the missionary. He was confronted by a tribe of cannibals. Oh my gosh. But, you know, obviously he was really, really nervous. And what made him even more uncomfortable was one of the natives kept staring at him. And he looked him up and down and just kept staring at him. Wouldn't take his eyes off him. Well, finally, the missionary couldn't take it anymore. And he got courage to walk up to the guy and he said to the native, "You know, I'm really, really uncomfortable with you staring at me like that. Why are you doing that?" And the native responded back, "I'm in charge of the food inspection for the tribe." Yeah, the world's watching us, right? And trying to see how they can try to devour us and destroy us. We need to be careful. We need to stand strong in the faith and finish the race that's before us. I like the perspective that Ray Stedman gave us. He said this, "Finally, Paul prays for the Thessalonians and for us. He's saying, hold on, keep steady, remain faithful. You have the resolve to do so in the desire given you by the Spirit. You have the faith to do so in the basis of fact revealed in the Scripture. And you have the power to do so since God Himself dwells in you. All this according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Granted that it may sometimes be hard, it's not easy to stand for Christ in your family when perhaps some members are against you. It's not easy to be loving, winsome, and warm towards those who are cruel and caustic to you at work. This can be a tough, brutal, ruthless world. Scripture faces those facts head on. But we are constantly reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ is even now being glorified when we hold steady, when we do not give up, when we do not allow ourselves to fall into evil practices, but are able to say no and walk away from them. That's when Jesus is being glorified, says the apostle. And says Paul, you also are being glorified. Inner changes are taking place in your life that you cannot see. Others may be able to catch a glimpse of them now and then. But when the Lord Jesus shows us off before the whole world at the time of the unveiling of His presence, the glory He's been shaping within us will blaze forth to such a degree that the whole universe will gasp. What a hope, what a motivation to keep on keeping on." Absolutely. You know, it's tough out there. I don't know if how many of you are familiar with the Pony Express and all that these guys did. I mean, they were dedicated guys. And I think for us, what an example. The Pony Express was basically a private express company, carried mail by relay with horseback riders. The Easter End was eastern end was St. Joseph, Missouri, and the western terminal was in Sacramento, California. The cost of sending a letter by Pony Express was $2.50 an ounce. If the weather and the horses held out and the Indians held off, the letter would complete the entire 2,000-mile journey in a speedy 10 days, as did the report of Lincoln's inaugural address. Did you know that the Pony Express was in operation from April 3rd, 1860 until November 18th, 1861, just 17 months? That's all. Not a long period of time. Why? What happened? Well, the telegraph line was completed between two cities. They didn't need it anymore. But being a rider on the Pony Express was not easy. You were expected to ride 75 to 100 miles a day, changing horses every 15 to 25 miles. Other than mail, the only baggage you carried contained a few provisions, including a kit of flour, cornmeal, and bacon. Thank God for the bacon, right? In case of danger, you also had a medical pack of turpentine, borax, and cream of tartar. I don't know how that's going to help you, but okay. Wow. And in order to travel light and increase speed of mobility during Indian attacks, the men always rode in shirt sleeves, even during the fierce winter months. How did you recruit volunteers for that job? I mean, it's a horrible job, hazardous job. An 1860 San Francisco newspaper printed this ad for the Pony Express. Wanted: young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert riders willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. Why would you even sign up for that, right? I mean, that is like the worst ad for a job in the world. But they were just the honest facts. And you know what? The Pony Express never had a shortage of riders. Can you believe it? They signed up for this. Think about our lives, guys. What have we signed up for? I think, you know, for some Christians, you know, they're told, some, you know, they just come to the faith, oh, just accept Jesus, everything will be perfect in your life. And you won't have any problems. Life is good, you know, you get your mansions and planes and everything. And how many of you found that to be true? I haven't. But I wouldn't want it any other way. Because through this all, I know the Lord is with me every step of the way. And where I'm at today is farther along than I was a year ago, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Because God keeps stretching our faith all the time. And He's not done with us yet. We need to grow in love, receiving His love and giving His love to others. That's what they need to see in our lives. We need to grow in hope of His soon return for His bride, the church. We grow in faith, just trusting in God. Yeah, service is costly, but as you serve, man, it brings glory to God. And doesn't it help your faith, love, and hope grow? Absolutely. I mean, when you see what God is doing, it's just amazing. You know, I think many times, you know, when you're right in the midst of something really difficult, you don't see it. But then as you go through it and you're on the other side and you look back and go, wow, Lord, that was amazing. We weren't maybe joyful in the midst of it, but we look back and go, praise God. And I like how Paul closes this chapter out. According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's not according to how good we are, how much work we do. It's according to the grace of God. We don't deserve it. He freely gives it to us, and thus just walk accordingly. Live for Him. Let people see Jesus in us. Because for many, you are the only Bible some people will ever read, and they need to see Jesus. They need to know why you are doing the things you are doing, why you have hope in a hopeless situation, why you have joy when you shouldn't have joy, why you didn't yell at your boss when he yelled at you for no reason. Let your light shine, so that they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's really what it's about. You know, this whole chapter is persecution and how it affected the lives of these Thessalonian believers. And they shined brightly. And Paul's trying to encourage them, hang in there, don't give up. Continue to grow in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your encouragement this evening. And I hope everyone here was encouraged as much as I was. Because, Lord, yeah, it can be very difficult, and we can feel all alone out there, but we're never alone. You're always with us. And we need to keep our eyes upon you. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yeah, we go through the valley of the shadow of death, but that's where we grow. That's where we follow our good shepherd. And he's teaching us all along the way. When we eventually go to the mountaintop, we go to the plateau where you allow us to get refreshed. And then we start our journey again to the valley below to teach us more. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes upon you and to keep walking by faith and finish the race strong. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.